everyone, and welcome to American Love Freedom Watch Radio.
Hold on 1 second.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, here we go. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country, the place for American patriots to come together as one united people. Today is Tuesday, April 23rd, 2013, and tonight we are starting something new. We are starting a new weekly show. It's American Freedom Watch Radio. Karen Schoen is going to be our host. She's an expert on Agenda 21 and sustainable development, and she's involved with many things, and we're going to I'm going to let her explain most of that because she has a long list. And then we also have John Estabrooks, who's going to be joining us as well, another patriot out there helping to fight the cause of freedom. And a little bit later on, we have Victoria Jackson, who's going to be joining us. So we have a great show coming on tonight. I got just a couple of very brief announcements, and then I'm going to hand this over to Karen. Wanted to let you know Blog Talk Radio has had some problems in the past week where they had some outages and things, so if you see anything like that, I apologize. Nothing I could really do about it. But right now it appears that they have everything fixed, so hopefully that's going good, and hopefully we have no problems tonight. Tomorrow night, make sure you tune in for Truth About Education. Diane Kiefer, she's the guru of what's going on with Common Core and how they're destroying the education system, which is all part of Agenda 21 as well. And then Thursday, I have my new transportation report, Saving the American Freeway. And it was last Thursday when I was going to debut it that we had the problems with the outages and things like that. So the show lasted, I think, about 20 minutes. The only other thing I want to mention real quick here, just because it's relative to the discussion tonight, but I just happen to find it somewhat humorous, and I believe Karen and John will also do this. There was an article out in reference to our good old friend, Senator Rubio, Marco Rubio, and his immigration stuff. Finally, this one local Florida paper, it's called the Shark Tank, it's a political think tank, newspaper, whatever you want to call it, media. And in the past, they've been big supporters of Marco Rubio. But they finally have it out there posted in reference to Rubio shamefully attacks conservatives over immigration reform, and they finally put the myth out there. This is why I had to share this, and I figure, Karen, you'll appreciate this.
That's great. Yeah. We are going to talk about that. You're absolutely right. Please do.
Okay, so I won't say too much about Rubio, but I'll just say this piece here. Senator Rubio, the myth, Senator Rubio is loyal and trustworthy. Max, he's not.
Yeah.
And they gave me those briefs.
You say to whom, Sally?
Senator Marco Rubio continues a scorched earth immigration reform defense as he ramps up his criticism and attacks against the very conservatives that helped him win in 2010. What most people don't know about Rubio is that he always supported the pathway to citizenship. While he was the Speaker of the House, Rubio blocked 6 pro-immigration bills and defended the actions by saying the bills did not have sufficient votes to get them to the committees. Anyway, I'm going to leave it there because I have been out there telling people you got to go and see what the guy is really about. They finally reported it. Anyway,
yes.
I had to share
that. You know something, Sally? That is really the best information that anybody can get, and that is what I've been telling everyone also. We have to stop paying attention to their words and start paying attention to their actions because their words mostly don't have anything to do with their actions. And it's their actions that we have to be concerned with, not their words.
Actions speak louder than words. And on I am going to introduce Sharon Schoen, again, a American patriot, freedom fighter, and she's involved in many organizations. I'll let Karen tell you a little bit about herself as we kick off the new show. The main thing is understanding Agenda 21, sustainable development. You've got to get involved. You got to be an American. You got to be part of the process. On that note, thank you for joining Karen and John. And Karen, I'm going to head off to you.
Well, thank you so much, Sally. It is such a pleasure to be back again on the air. John, we have certainly been missed. People have been sending emails, and it's wonderful to know that when we talk, people are listening, and that's the best news. But it's all that we're working together, and that's even the better news. So, John, how are you? And let me explain to people that are new. John is usually my co-host, and John shares his time with us, unless, of course, he is on a rig that's in the middle of a hurricane. We've had that one as well.
Yes.
For the most part, John is able to join us, and today he's on a rig. So, John, how are we doing, first of all, weather-wise? How are you doing out there? And second of all, tell us what's going on in the energy sector.
Karen, it's great to be back on the air, and I hope that everyone listening will continue to listen to American Freedom Watch Radio. Our effort is to relay nothing but the truth to American citizens. Our energy sector, Karen, is still under attack, and I guess that's what one of the things that is primary to me, because this week, April 20th, 2010 was the greatest tragedy for our offshore energy business. The Deepwater Horizon, and we lost 11 of our fellow workers, brothers, in the effort to supply America an independent energy source. And celebrating that each year, it is painful, but what is more painful to me is the actions that our government has taken to diminish this industry and to destroy the fossil fuel industry as a whole, not just oil and natural gas, but also coal, while they continue to subsidize solar and wind energy with a great cost to every American. Every American has the right to our natural resources. They are God-given rights. They do not. These rights are not derived from governments. And our government has taken control of our natural resources and is an all-out effort to destroy what it is I do and to bring America and all of us that work in these deep water rigs in the Gulf of Mexico and face all the trials and tribulations that we face. We do it with clear sight that we are a hope for American energy independence. It's our wish. It's a goal. And to have a nation that has allowed a government to hold this source of energy from our citizens is shameful.
Yes, you're absolutely right, John. And, folks, thank you so much for joining us and joining American Freedom Watch Radio. This is your host, Karen Schoen, and we are brought to you live on the American Statesman on Blog Talk Radio, Sally Baptiste, and also on Red State Talk Radio, and that is in Tennessee. So we're so happy to be all over the place, John. This is about the only place where we can do that, and it is wonderful, and it's wonderful to talk to everyone. John is 100% right, folks, and let's talk for a minute because you said something very important, John, and that was about subsidizing. And I don't think a lot of folks have a real handle on what subsidies are because I spent the day today in Tallahassee, the Florida state capital, talking with many legislators and listening to people who have no clue when the government gives a subsidy. They don't know where the money is coming from, and that was very evident by both some of the legislators and some of the people that I met today. So, John, let's get that perfectly clear so we can understand it and get it out of the way. Subsidy, folks, that means that the government takes our tax dollars, yours and mine, puts it in a pool, and gives that money to private industry, and it's not a tax write-off, which is what the oil industry gets, meaning that after they do their research, after they do their development, after they find a well, after they start refining and pumping, then they get a rebate on the taxes from the government. But they've already done the work. This is different. This is money up front for unproven products. And when you have that going on, you have what we know as in the free market, lack of competition. It's impossible for
Absolutely.
People to compete. You know, John, if you had a wind turbine and I had a gas company and we were giving massive money to you, John, and nothing to my company, then what do you think would happen to my company?
Yeah, and Karen, that's the corrupt and evil part of this green agenda by our federal government and the subsidies that they give to wind and solar. Is, yes, it is American citizens' taxpayer dollars with no hope of any return and a huge loss of billions upon billions of dollars that they have thrown at a failed enterprise. And it's a failed enterprise where the government is attempting to select winners and losers in a free market, what is supposed to be a free market economy. But it leaves all of us in the energy sector who are fossil fuel drillers, explorers, coal producers, it leaves us wanting to have an understanding how our Congress and Senate has the nerve to express to the American people that they subsidize this industry. They do not subsidize oil and gas and coal. What they do is just like they do for every storefront in America, every small business owner in America. If they make an investment in a year, then they get to take a tax write-off on that investment for their business in the hopes that they will have success, and that success then leads to the success of the entire nation and all of us as people. Free market economies work if they're allowed to. We have a government picking winners and losers, and guess what? They are not doing a very good job at finding any winners. They have chosen a losing horse. In fact, this week, our Speaker of the House, Boehner, has finally got a light bulb on and going public saying that their efforts to subsidize losers has got to be stopped, that we have to stop that policy, and that we have to take all of those energies on failed investments and turn the American oil sector, the gas sector, and the coal sector loose so that America has a cheap, independent source of fuel.
And that is, folks, that is what this is all about. The oil that is on American soil, the natural gas that is on the American soil, can only be owned by two entities. One, an individual, they own land, they find oil, they get to keep the oil that's on their land, and they get to use it and sell it, whatever they want to do with it. It's theirs. This is America. In America, you own what is above the land, and you own what is below the land. No other country has that. In other countries, whatever you own that is not on the surface of the land, whatever you discover, whatever you find, belongs to the government. That's not the way it works in America. That's why land and private property ownership is so important. The other type of land that we have is owned by the government. Now let's take a look at that. Who do you think the government is made up of? And who does that land really belong to? Well, it certainly doesn't belong to the White House, because that changes every 4 years. And it doesn't belong to the Congress, because that changes every 2 or 6 years. And it doesn't belong to the courts, because they can't own anything. So there's only one group that it can belong to, and that's called we, the people. It's our resources. It is not the government. The only thing that the government is supposed to do is manage it for we, the people. And America, as John says numerous times, is incredibly fossil fuel energy rich. We're an extremely wealthy country when it comes to our energy. And
yeah, every listener needs to be very clear that the United States of America has the largest supply of natural gas on the planet Earth, America. But yet, where we can drill, where we can produce, is dictated by government permitting, government-controlled properties that are not made available. And Karen, that's such a valid and a great way of having people understand. These public properties, when we look at our national parks, our forests, those are our lands. They belong to the people. And yet we've got 454 American citizens who, in their elitist status, have laid claim to them and disallow us to use them to the best of. We are an exceptional people. Americans are, and I don't know, I say this all of the time because it's a point that needs to be driven home to our nation. As an exceptional people, if Americans are given any task, and look at our history as Americans, each task we have been given, and when a task is put in front of us, we have always managed to achieve it, and we have never been turned back. If America has the will and we have the commitment to energy independence, it will be achieved, and I say as little as 5 to 10 years. And
that's,
I'm talking total independence
part
of any foreign. Yeah, and what a boost to the economy. As we struggle with all the failed policies of this administration and this Congress, and we look where they're driving our grandchildren into continuous debt, to know we have a possibility to keep all of the foreign all of our dollars that we're sending to foreign countries, Saudi Arabia being one of them, and that's not working out too well for us, but at any rate, all of those dollars, those billions, and over the course of time, the trillions that we've sent out of this nation would be retained by the American people.
And you know something, John, that is really key to everything. Because right now, as we know, as the students of Agenda 21 and ripping it apart as we have done on numerous occasions, and people listening to us have an understanding that Agenda 21 is the mechanism or the plan that is being used to drive America into the ground. And there's no other way to say it nicely. It's being used to destroy America. And you know something? Remember last week, I think it was last week, that Joe Biden was talking, and he even said, we must be prepared for a new world order. That's Agenda 21 out of the United Nations. And we must level the playing field. Now, folks, think about that. Think about that, John. When the first time I ever heard that, a long, long time ago, I thought to myself, oh, my God, isn't that wonderful? We will be able to go and teach people how to become free, how to be entrepreneurial, how to take care of themselves, and elevate the rest of the world up to where America was. Well, unfortunately, that's not what Joe meant. When they say that, because we know of Agenda 21 and we know what the driving force is, when they say level the playing field, they mean takeaway. And that is, what can we take away from the American people to push them down so that no one in the world will feel that Americans are special? Because we shouldn't feel special. Somebody's feelings might get hurt. Well, you know what? That's really too bad, isn't it? Because we are special, and we have to start acting like that, and that is really the problem. I think Americans have been beaten down so much and taught so much that things are so bad, that they are responsible, that we are responsible for every single horrible atrocity that has ever happened on this earth. And that is what is being presented. If you remember, what was one of the first things that Obama did when he got in office is he went and he apologized for America. That should have been the last thing that anybody should have ever done. But getting back to this, folks, we are a really incredibly mineral, energy-rich country. No other country has the resources that we have. We have favorable weather for a while. We have fabulous land that grows just about anything. I think in America there isn't anything that we can't grow in some part of the country. Obviously, colder plants need colder weather.
Yeah.
Warmer plants need warmer weather. But our land mass is situated so that I don't really think there's anything that we couldn't grow if we didn't want to. That's an amazing thing to be able to know that we have the soil that we would be able to feed our people. We have resources. As John just said, we are the biggest producer of natural gas in the world. In the world, and yet we don't use it. That is insane.
Yeah.
Insanity.
And Karen, when this battle that every American needs to join and understand, we are still the wealthiest nation on the planet. But when I go back and I look at the facts in history, and we study that, and we see that 60 short years ago, this nation had the largest, most abundant supply of food and surplus food for its people. We held that. That was an important aspect, and one of the things that our government during the Cold War established, we need to have food for our people. We need to be able to feed every American. And they didn't do it by giving us an EPP card. They did that by stockpiling foodstuffs and giving people raw food commodities. But then, as Agenda 21, and we started to see the socialization and social justice policies that came out of Lyndon Johnson's Great Society move forward, we decided and we allowed our elected officials to diminish our surpluses. Anyone that had a need, we have taken pallets of our natural, of rice, corn, soybeans all over the planet to feed any people that were in need, the great American gift givers. American people have never been a people that has not reached out a hand to a person anywhere on this planet that needed our assistance. We always had a food surplus supply that we were willing to share and to give them so that they would not starve. We took care of them. But then, and under Agenda 21, under the social justice policies of the Democratic Party, we started a shift. We no longer have that surplus of food. You know, there's various numbers, and you can get various numbers even from our government, if that's where you want to have your trusted source come from, that the average American, you know, if the lights go out, in your town and you go off-grid, that you've only got just a matter of a couple of days of food supply in any city. And there's nowhere to go get it from. No one's going to rush to save you. But we are seen and has been painted by the UN that we are the people that have overdeveloped their nation. We're overdeveloped people. So now they want to do a damage.
I love to hear that, John, because I always go back, and folks, this is something that you can use. You can take this one to the bank. America, we have about 300 million people and change. 300 million people, maybe 309, 310, whatever. If we gave every single family in America a plot of land that was a quarter of an acre, which is a decent-sized piece of property, every single American, we would all fit in the state of Ohio. Now, how is that overpopulating our land? See, folks, when you begin to learn about these people, you begin to learn what they call myths. I call them lies. John calls them lies, because one thing you'll learn about us is we're not politically correct. We tell the truth. And they are lying. The next time someone says to you that we are overpopulating the planet, ask them in comparison to what? What are they comparing it to? Comparison to landmass? I don't think so. Because you know what else I learned the other day, John? If we took the population of the world, not just America, the entire world, and we did the same thing, we gave every family a quarter of an acre of land, the entire population of the world would fit in the center of the United States from the Sierras to the Appalachian Mountains. We wouldn't even get to the outer states, the border states, the states on the Pacific and on the Atlantic. We all as people, world citizens, would fit in the United States. So how are we overpopulating the planet? Folks, we're not. It's a myth. It's a lie. And why do you think they would say that, John? Why would they go out and tell people, there's too many of you? Think about that sentence. There's too many people. Too many people for what? Well, too many people
for their desire.
Control.
That's
the
exactly
whole key.
Right.
The whole key of this and everything that's happening to us today in America, three words, remember them. Money, power, control. That's what every single policy and plan has its roots in. So when you see a program, when you see a bill, when you see a policy, think of money, power, control. Go to the meat of that bill and say, okay, what's it going to cost and who's going to pay for it? What am I going to lose as they try to control me? And should I give them that power over me? Because power can only somebody gives it to you.
Yeah. But Karen, our Constitution and our free republic says that we, the people, have the ultimate, final voice and choice. And you tell me, in reality, you know, we go to polls and we select our president, Congress, Senate, and we have little issues on our state ballot, our local ballot. But then when we look at all of the policy and administrative things that they take our freedom and liberty with, and they use as policy, well, that's the policy. No, we've made that law. Well, okay, you've got a Congress here for Louisiana, Baton Rouge, yours in Tallahassee, and those people go and they pass every single year. And that's one thing. If the American people want to take action to slow all of this, don't let those guys go to your state capitol for it. Let's make them take about 2 years off on the national and state level and say, don't write another law. And any law that you do choose to write, I want my voice, I want my vote as an American citizen, because I'm guaranteed that by my Constitution. I didn't get a voice in Common Core. No one in America did. You tell me a citizen that had a vote on Common Core in this nation, yet they're indoctrinating our children. Who decided that America would pay and fund the United Nations attack on our natural resources and private property rights? Not John, not Karen. I'll bet you there's not a single listener that had a voice or a vote on the giving away of our natural resources and our abundance and wealth, the taking of our dollars, of our incomes, of our labor, and shipping them all over the planet. We did not get a vote. And aren't we, the people, supposed to be the ruling. Right now we have 454 people, a ruling class that sees herself as all-knowing, all-powerful, and stealing everything that this nation, as a free economic system, a free market economy, as a free people, as a free republic, to have a say, they have stolen our freedom and our liberty. And all we're saying is, not any longer, not on my watch. I'm going to confront you with truth. I'm going to confront you as an American. I won't have your party label. I won't accept your socioeconomic label of me. I am an American citizen demanding my freedoms and my liberties. And that's what we have to do.
Yes. And you know what else, John? This election in 2014 is incredibly critical. I even think right now it's more important than the federal election that we just had. The reason why I'm saying that, folks, is because this is the last power struggle. And right now we have incredible corruption. We have corruption in Tallahassee, and that's our state. I know we have corruption in our county, and I know we have corruption in the federal government. We have the ability to correct that, but we're not going to correct anything by going back again and voting for the same people. John, I was astounded. 54 people got reelected into Tallahassee without even going to an election because nobody ran against them. Every time I think about it.
Yeah, but listen, you know, one of the things, Karen, that I see for that, and I'm just going to share this as my thinking when I look at it, and I always ask every American, do your own homework, do your own thinking, be original in your thought so that it's your thought. It's not someone in media telling you this is the way you should feel or this is the way you should think. But how many Americans, Karen, have the understanding that these guys that run for office, that they run for state representative, that they run for Senate, and they usually come out of the county government, you know, they've made their way through the county corruption process, or they've made their way through the city process, and they're mayor or city councilman, and they have funding, and they also have support of other people that push them, and the average guy that would absolutely have the people's best interest at heart never considers making a run because of finances. He's told, there's no way you can beat that guy. And guess what? The parties on both sides will align up against a citizen who is not one of the good old boys. Well, guess what, folks? We have to go door to door. We have to become community organizers, American community organizers, and find a neighbor that's a guy that we know that has a keen enough intelligence to go sit down and say, wait a while, guys, I'm not a lawyer. I don't have any corporation's interest at heart. I want to know, what is this going to do to my constituents, and why aren't my constituents going to be allowed to vote on this issue? Those are the guys that we have to send. We have to enable them, empower them, and say, we will lift you up.
You know something, John? Let's talk about that for a minute, and that is running for office. I truly believe that anybody that has a voice and can stand and talk to people can run for office, because after spending time with the people that have won in my capital and in our federal administration, guess what I discovered, John? We're just as smart as they are. And in many
Absolutely
cases,
care.
We are a lot smarter because they are not looking in depth at the things we are looking at. A lot of times what happens, these people will go into their legislative session and the leadership will tell them how to vote. So they're voting for things that they have no idea what they say. They have no idea what they mean. And Nancy Pelosi probably never said anything more true in her life, which is we have to pass the bill to find out what's in it. I'm seeing more and more of that. But you know what's sad, John? I'm seeing that on the state level, and that is horrifying.
Yeah.
Because here are a group of state representatives.
Is that Victoria?
Yes.
Oh, that is wonderful. Let me just
Let me go ahead and have Victoria join us right now. And I will let you introduce her.
Okay, Victoria. Hi. Are you there?
I'm here. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Oh, this is wonderful. Folks, we are so blessed today to have Victoria Jackson with us, a true agenda, a woman who is working and working and working to get the truth out, and that's what an agenda does, gets the truth out. Victoria has a new website. For those of you that don't remember Victoria, although I can't imagine anybody not remembering you, she was on Saturday Night Live, and you will certainly recognize her voice, and I'm going to let her give you her new website. You must visit her website. She has incredible interviews. It's talking to people that you would never think would even grant an interview. So, Victoria, thank you so much for joining us today. And before you even get started, tell everybody what you're up to in your new website so they know how to find you.
Okay. It's called I'm honored to be on Karen's show. I am her biggest fan. I met you when you came up to me at a tea party, and you said, have you ever heard of Agenda 21? And there was something in her eyes that looked like she had wisdom that I needed, some truth that I didn't have yet. And so I love what you're doing. I'm your student, and I have so much to learn. But my website is victoriajacksonshow.com. And, well, he couldn't afford to keep doing it. But, you know, he was flying in people to Atlanta, and I was interviewing them. But it was a very low budget because nobody watches the Internet. And so basically I'm just still posting things, but, you know, it's a little bit less than what it was. But anyway, long story short, right now I'm at a meeting in Florida. There's a guy who counsels people, a pastor, Preston Bailey. He's based out of, you know him?
Yes, very well, and he's going to be on the show in 2 weeks.
Yeah,
oh my goodness.
Doc Preston.
I love him. He counsels people who want to get out of the Illuminati.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes,
and
exactly.
Yes.
And we should tell everybody who the Illuminati are first so they don't think we're nuts.
Well, you explain it, and then I'll keep going.
Okay. The Illuminati is a secret, or was a secret group of people coming from the Freemasons, and this is hundreds of years old. They were the original bankers coming from the Knights Templar, which is, that's how far back this goes. And it's also mixed in with the skull and crossbones. But the Illuminati are different because you cannot be initiated into the Illuminati. You have to be born into the Illuminati. And many of our leaders, like Jack Kennedy and his wife, Jacqueline, were born into the Illuminati. So it has deep, deep family ties, basically around the banking community. And Victoria, I'll let you talk about what you discovered with Preston. He's a wonderful man.
Oh, yes, he's wonderful. Well, you know, it sounds like a crazy conspiracy thing, but it's not. And if people Google it, you can spend hours, you know, looking into the Bohemian Grove and Jekyll Island and everything. But I actually know someone who was invited to the Bohemian Grove and said it was pagan. He'll never go back. Women are not allowed. The god of Moloch or whatever is there. Yeah. Anyway, it's real. So I'm here at this prayer, this group of Christians, and we're Dr. Bailey is talking about spiritual warfare. And because the Illuminati is a Luciferian cult, which is a satanic cult, And it's kind of funny, but all the bad things happening in our world, the New World Order, you know, Islam, the Agenda 21, all of this evil stuff, it's all connected by one thread, Satan. But anyway, so I'm at this interesting group, so I had to tear myself away to talk to you about Agenda 21. Are you ready?
Well, I appreciate that, and I know with Preston, you could go on forever. He has so much knowledge. It's fabulous to just listen to him. So I really appreciate the fact that you have given up this to come and speak with us.
Oh, well, he, you know, when I first met him, I thought maybe he was making all this weird stuff up. But the more I talked to him, he's like counseling this woman who was programmed as a child in the Illuminati, like to be an assassin. She has alters, personalities, et cetera. She was, you know, abused as a child with Mengele's techniques from the Nazi days. Well, anyway, there's a lot to learn. But Agenda 21 is from the United Nations. It's part of this plan to take away, everyone listening probably knows because Karen's taught them, private property from American citizens. Well, I'm new to this. I'm a beginner. So I'm asking all these questions, you know. And Karen introduced me to the guy who made the law in Alabama. What's his name again?
Ken Freeman.
Yeah, Ken. And so I talked to him a long time. I videoed him, put him on my website, victoriajacksonshow.com, because Karen and Ken Freeman are experts. And what's Ken's friend's name, the other guy who was our brave soldier?
Don Casey?
Yes, and him. So I interviewed them. Well, I was asking them, you know, you talk about Agenda 21, it's creeping into everything, but I don't see it. Where am I going to find it? Where do I see it? Well, I stumbled into it. This is what happened. We're moving to Nashville, Tennessee, and my daughters live there now, and I was up there visiting, and I was looking around Franklin, Tennessee. Where does Amy Grant live? Where do the country stars live? Oh, Leaper's Fork. What a cute little place. And I stumbled upon these free magazines near this real estate office. And I was flipping through them, and I saw an article with beautiful parks and people riding bikes, and it said, Franklin tomorrow. and red flags went up. I was like, wait a minute, Franklin tomorrow, parks, bikes, what is this? What do you mean, Franklin tomorrow? And I start reading, and it's like, sounds like Agenda 21, because I've been trained by Karen, right, and Bob Root. And so I'm like looking, and I'm like, wait a minute, it doesn't really say anything, but because I'm trained, you know. So I emailed the lady's name, and I said, can I interview you tomorrow? And I didn't say, I believe you're a communist or, you know, of the New World Order or anything. I just played dumb. And so the next day I go to her office to interview her on Main Street in Franklin. Charming little Main Street. Looks like, you know, Norman Rockwell painting. And I go into her office, and there's posters all over the walls that have sustainable development, smart growth, sustainability.
Oh, wow.
Those words, the buzzwords, are popping out and hitting me in the face. And I'm like, so, are you involved with Agenda 21 or something? She goes, oh, no. And I said, well, do you know what it is? She goes, yes, we have nothing to do with that. We have nothing to do with the United Nations. Or, you know, I'm like, well, who pays you? Where do you get this money from? And the more that I kept scratching the surface, the more it became apparent that I guess the federal government is giving grants, which is money, to these little towns where a lady, I forget her name, but the story is on victoriajacksonshow.com, and it's if you just put in the search box, you know, Agenda 21 or Franklin or something, and they're giving money to people like her, and it's so misty and shrouded in just gray matter. I'm like, well, what do you do? And she's like, well, we get together and we talk about the future of Franklin. I go, what do you mean the future of Franklin? Well, we want to have bike paths and, you know, I go, you mean human-free zones? you know, and you know, it was just frightening. And so the more that I kept talking, and finally I revealed the fact that I believe she's a communist. She said,
wow.
She goes, well, I think you want to talk to so and so. Now, I'm rusty on this. She takes me down the street to the Republican headquarters, and there are people there, Gene and this guy who I have the video on my website, who know exactly what's going on, who are on our side and love America, are not trying to destroy America like her. And so there you have it. On one side of the street is the devil. On the other side is God.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
And this is in a small town, USA, where many people have no idea of what this creep is coming into their communities. Now, you said something really important, Victoria, and people, this is the crux of our problem. We have a $17 trillion debt, which is an unheard-of amount of money. And what are we spending our money on? Well, the woman said she's getting a grant. Where does the grant come from? Oh, well, that's free money. I'm sorry. Where does it come from? It's coming from the government. Where does the government get its money? From your pocket and my pocket.
Right.
Because the government, other than printing money, has no way to get money unless they take it from we the people. So here they are, giving this grant to this community so that this community can put in bike paths and walking trails and all of those wonderful eco things, but they're not doing it because they, the citizens, want it. They're doing it because they're being told that if they do it, they'll get a grant. And usually that grant means multiple things.
Let me tell you more. What the money is being used for secretly is to make mass transit, because in the future we're not allowed to have cars. We all have to live in communal living. And so they're making bike paths so we won't have cars. They're just preparing the way for this one world government where we have no private property. And let me just tell you the rest, because there's just a little bit more. Well, then the aldermen of Franklin, that's like the mayor or something, they call it an alderman, like an old-fashioned word, she got all nervous, and she contacted me because I was poking around in her city. And so she went out to lunch with me. She was super nervous, and she said, oh, I know what Agenda 21 is. I read the whole thing, and I made them stop being involved with ICLEI, I-C-L-E-I. She said ICLEI was giving them money, and she said, I refused to take their money, and I told the town we can't be connected with ICLEI anymore. And then there's a movement called ICLEI Free Tennessee. But this woman, I said, well, you have solar-powered garbage cans. That seems like a green thing to me. And, you know, I think ICLEI, like, would give them money to get solar-powered garbage cans or something on Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically she was just way too nervous. And I thought, well, if she's against ICLEI and we're on the same team, why is she so nervous, you know? And the end of my story is, there's one more thing I forgot. Oh, yeah. So that night I go, wow, I got a great story. Karen's going to be so proud of me. And so then I'm writing it up, and then I turn on the changing channels, and who's the guy in charge of all of Nashville? Not the governor. The mayor? Is that called the mayor?
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
I
knew all this. Yeah, he's on TV talking about all of these buzzwords. He's doing some kind of a ribbon cutting for this space of land where sustainability is going to happen and sustainable development. And I'm like, no, the mayor drank the Kool-Aid. And then I looked him up. I looked him up, and he's married to a billionaire. His wife is a billionaire, inherited money. And she's really into this green movement, and that's why he's probably doing it. But see, this is not going to affect her. It's not going to affect the elite. It's only going to affect the middle class.
That's right. You're absolutely right. But you also made a really great point. Think about this one, too. Where does ICLEI get their money?
United Nations?
Well, they get their money from grants from the United Nations and the United States. So where does the United Nations get its money, and where does the United States get its money?
From
again,
the taxpayer.
We're back to the same thing again. So people do not understand. They don't make the relationship. So that's why when you say a $17 trillion debt, it doesn't mean anything to them because they don't think of it personally. But what we have to start doing is visually, every time somebody says grant, just reach down and touch your wallet. Because that's what grant means.
Absolutely.
Money out of your
pocket. Karen, if we all as citizens, and we know these grants are that evil, if we don't stop our local city governments and parish governments, our school boards, from taking these grants and say, don't take another grant. If we don't give you voter by vote permission to take any money, don't take it. Because that's what they don't have to do. It avoids having to go ask the citizens. Let's don't ask the citizens. We don't want them to know. And that's
right.
What this is. It's a shell game. Karen, and twice, you know, when you speak, and we are told on every nation, national TV, the media, $17 trillion in debt, $16.8 trillion. No. Here, every American citizen needs to know. Our debt's not $16 or $17 trillion. Our unfunded liabilities, our red ink, is $261 trillion.
Oh.
Folks, they're printing money like madmen.
Yeah. You're right. You're absolutely right. Just so everybody knows, the noise that you're hearing is from John's rig. So something is happening. Are we pumping?
Yeah, that's called an e-call system.
Oh.
There you go. Yeah.
Oh, God. One of these days. One of these days. But, you know, something, Victoria, this is so important because people learning that grants come from their wallet. Think about it the next time your legislator or your county government says, should we put in a bike path? You should then say, okay, it's coming from me. Do I want to pay for a bike path? And if your answer is yes, okay, then it's yes, but it's your decision. It's not the government taking money from you and saying, oh, let's put it in this electric car company, or let's give it to Franklin County for them to build bike paths, because we know that if we didn't do it that way, they wouldn't have bike paths. You know something, a really good thing would be, I wonder how many people actually use them.
Well, that's the thing about this train in Miami. Nobody uses it. There's this public, like, subway train. Not one person uses it. Millions of dollars.
Before you leave there, could you take pictures of the empty train?
Oh, that's a great idea.
Let's show the people in Miami where their tax dollars are going. When you hear something funny, it's not funny because somebody got hurt, but last year one of the garages in Miami collapsed and 10 people were hurt, and I believe one man was killed, so that part is not funny. But what was funny was when I went on the Miami Herald to read about the story, I looked at the comments. And what the comments were saying was, well, if those stupid people didn't have cars, we wouldn't have to build garages that would fall down.
Oh, Lord.
Everything was taking a shot at the car. Well, why don't these people use the transportation? Why do they have to drive into the city? They're smogging up the city. And I'm looking at this and I'm going, if I was in that county, my question would be, where did the drywall come from? Is this Chinese materials that we're using?
because that's mm-hmm. what seems to be happening, as we are now spending our infrastructure money, and we're doing this in Florida. The infrastructure money in Florida is going to a German company to build light rail. What happened to the American
wow.
workers that, you know, that Governor Scott said? Again, we have to listen to their words. He said he's going to bring 700,000 jobs to Florida, and he is doing a very good job. The problem is he never said who he was going to employ, because he's employing foreign workers. So he's bringing all of these yeah. foreign companies. There's the other piece. So you've got all these people in these rural areas giving up prime real estate that someday maybe someone would build something there, or perhaps a private individual would put up a bike path and charge for it. Nothing wrong with that. But the fact that they took the land, used our money to purchase the land, mm-hmm. then took the land off the tax rolls, and then do you think they turned around to the people in Franklin County and said, you know, we just lost all this property and they're not paying taxes anymore, so we're going to lower the taxes here so that, you know,
we're going to give you a rebate.
We're going to give you a rebate because we don't have that money
yeah.
now, so we're just going to not
yeah.
do these programs. Or do you think they turned around and said, oh, we just lost that, so the budget is in deficit and we need to raise the millage rates?
Yes, and
absolutely.
Then one more thing. Then I looked in another magazine I got for free, and it said Cumberland Region tomorrow, CRT. And I'm like, oh, they're both ending in tomorrow. And it's the same exact thing. They're everywhere.
Yes. Hold that thought, because we're going to take a break for a minute. And this is Karen Schoen and John Estabrooks and Victoria Jackson, and you're listening to American Freedom Watch Radio, and we are on the American Statesman on Blog Talk Radio and on RedStateTalkRadio.com. So please join us, and we'll be back again in a minute. Okay, we can come back. We had to do that for the Tennessee station. Victoria, we're going to be on in Tennessee.
That's great.
In Cleveland, Tennessee. So you can come on now and you can give us a Tennessee update as you move there and tell us what's going on. That'll be so exciting.
Yeah, I'm going to try to get in the small government position so I can be a spy and really get involved.
Oh,
there you go.
Fabulous.
That's some power.
See, everyone,
that's
just what John and I were talking about before you got on the line. It is so important that anybody that has a mouth run for office, because
yes.
it gives you the ability to get an audience. You can spread the story. You can spread the truth. You can find out what's working in the city. You can find out what's going on in your county, in your community. Run for office. That's fabulous.
Yeah.
I'm very excited.
Well, what discouraged me from doing it in Miami was no one spoke English.
Isn't
and
that
for
true?
Real,
yeah.
I went to a Marco Rubio tea party one day, and it was all in Spanish. And I'm like, But when I live in Tennessee, it's going to be easier for me to, you know, do that kind
right.
of thing.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Absolutely.
That is so exciting. It's so exciting. Yes, and you know something? This is another thing. This immigration bill, we'll talk about that in a couple of minutes. But the other piece that nobody is talking about is the fact that all of these immigrants are coming here. Now, whether we want them or not is a separate issue. Whether we let them stay or make them leave is a separate issue. That's not the issue. If you're coming to America, you should learn English, and you should participate in American society, not we participate in your society. You don't have the right to tell us to come here and that we have to do things that are against our society to bend over backwards to accommodate you. They left their country for a reason. We don't need them to bring that reason here.
Right. Theodore Roosevelt wrote a great piece, and it was in a speech of his. I'll have to dig that out, Karen. And he eloquently explained exactly why every citizen should learn our language, salute our flag, and take up that the American way of life. You know, they're not the, you know, Hispanic American. We all must be and assimilate to the American culture and the American way of life. Then we can all live together.
That's absolutely, you know, something you're absolutely right, and that's exactly why this plan reeks of communism, because communists are the ones that believe in divide and conquer. Mm-hmm. The English
absolutely
brings the people together when you all speak the same language.
I'll have
and
a great story for that. Are we on the air again yet?
Yes, we are. Let's come back and welcome back. This is Karen Schoen and Victoria Jackson and John Estabrooks, and we are on American Freedom Watch Radio, and you are listening to us on either Blog Talk Radio, American Statesman, or Red State Talk Radio out of Cleveland, Tennessee. And welcome.
Well, Karen,
okay,
I have a great story right for that thought you had.
Okay, well, we were talking about the importance of learning English. It is critical. And to have you say that an American city that you went to, English was not spoken at a public forum is disgraceful.
Well,
English.
Well, here's why it's important, if you really think about it. I was telling you that when I moved, I've been in Miami 20 years because of my husband's work. When I moved to Nashville, I'm going to get involved in small local politics, and I'm going to be a spy, and I'm going to know exactly what's happening, and I'm going to stand up for the truth. Why didn't I do it when I was in Miami for 20 years? Because I was a housewife. I'll tell you why. Nobody speaks English. Now, I love Cubans, but here's the point. I went to a Marco Rubio tea party one day, and there was no English. I just felt like, how can I get involved in local politics? Nobody speaks English. I mean, it's like I don't have... Okay, let me give you another example. I'm getting my nails done a couple days ago. Everybody in the nail salon, 15 women, were speaking Spanish. I couldn't understand a word. I sat there reading my book. Well, all of a sudden, this young girl said something in English. And she said, photo shoot. I thought, that's weird. Why would she say photo shoot in English? Isn't, you know, fotografía, you know, that could be Spanish. I took Spanish for 2 years so I could understand my neighbors when I was in high school. But anyway, she said a sentence in English, and my eyes popped open. She said, why would these two young guys want to kill people? I mean, they were young and, you know, and I looked at her and I said, because they're Muslim. They're trying to take over the world. And everybody looked at me like, where did that foreigner come from? What is she talking about? What's Muslim? And then they looked kind of confused, and then they started speaking Spanish again. So my point is, first of all, how can you protect yourselves if you can't? They don't know what I'm talking about. How am I going to explain to them what a caliphate is, what Islam is, what the infidel? How do I explain to them that the Quran says kill the infidel if I can't even communicate with them?
That's exactly, and that's why the communists don't like the multiculturalism. And what made America successful was the melting pot idea, that when you came here, you learned about American culture, you learned the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, you went to school, you learned the skills so that you could make the choice to be successful, and then you went out and succeeded in whatever business you chose, no matter what it was. If you chose to get a job, it was your choice. And many people chose to get jobs so they could learn about a business, and then they went off on their own, and usually with the help of the person who they were working for, because it was a way for them to expand. And what capitalism is. But to go back to your point about
English. See, multiculturalism is bad. When my mother's people moved from Norway here, they learned English. They became Americans. They didn't become Norwegian hyphen Americans.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, Victoria, that's one of the things that Karen and I, for the last year, have been vehement about, that we stop any reference to Black American, White American, Republican, Democrat American. No, we must stand as Americans. If we don't do that, we have lost our nation. We cannot allow all of the people and all of the little things that have been created to divide us. And Victoria, one of the things when I was doing some research, okay, Victoria Jackson's going to be on. What are the things that she's doing? Because I hadn't seen anything since Saturday Night Live. So I go to check, and I thought, well, how wonderful is it that she is actually speaking out, taking a stance. And then I started to read some of the attacks by the leftists and the communists and the liberals, you know, because you actually spoke the truth about abortion. You spoke the truth about gay marriage. And then you're being attacked for it, you know, and people that want multiculturalism. Wait a while, folks. This is America. We have a freedom to voice what is true for us without the attacks. I mean, but they want, why was it, and why, where does the immigration thing, where does it stem from? Where does it come from? Why have they just allowed the borders and these 20 million people to come, other than votes, because that's the key, one of the key drivers, but it's also another mechanism to vote, to divide Hispanic Americans from the Caucasian Americans, from the Black Americans. Then what do? They say, oh, no, you're the wealthy class, you're the middle class, you're the poor class. So they give us class warfare. They give us race. They give us our sexuality, but they find all the mechanisms and tools to keep us divided rather than to have us see ourselves as Americans. I can accept gay unions, but I don't refer to them as gay. And I wanted to share this with you, Victoria. The largest bashing I've ever taken was about 3 weeks ago. I decided to blog a post and openly speak about gay marriage, and I referred to it as it is truthfully known, homosexual relationships. So I referred to them not as gay. Gay to me, as a young man growing up in America, was children dancing around a maypole. But, you know, I don't know who came up with the terminology out on the West Coast. But anyhow, I'm going to get past that. The truth is, it's homosexual. And I said, I'm going to leave my religious, my God, out of this conversation, and I'm going to share with everyone the truth of nature, because I have studied John Locke, Thomas Jefferson, and I understand the founding of our laws. Our laws are natural laws. And when I look at nature, and I don't consider anything but nature's law, and I see a man and a woman, and then I think to myself, two men, two women, it does not fit. You know, it's like Johnny Cochran with the glove. You know, if it doesn't fit, we got to quit. So I just took it on the natural law aspect of it. Homosexuality does not allow procreation. We cease to exist as a race, as humanity. All humanity would be lost. So I'm okay that if homosexuals want to have unions, fine, for legal and money purposes, because that's the driving motivator that they won't own up to and they won't confess to. This is an economic issue for homosexual unions, so that they can get a tax return that would allow them to have their partner, you know, they would get a joint homosexual union tax return. But that's not the way it's approached. So then they bash you and I as homophobes. And I took the largest, most abuse I've ever taken for any blog I've ever written over the gay issue, to where I finally just said, okay, folks, I'm sorry, goodbye.
Well, the progressives like homosexuality because they are into population control.
Absolutely.
And they are also into subversion, of which they use homosexuality to subvert, because it gives you a power over someone. You know, if I know you all and I know your secret, it's that kind of thing as well.
Well, destroying the traditional family unit is going to completely crumble our society.
Yes. Yes.
That's right. And that's nature's law. It just destroys society.
No, you're right. And the other thing, adopting children.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, these are all of the Agenda 21 items that we now are beginning to see in our life. And once you see them, you can stop them. Because once you understand them, you can explain them to others. When others are receptive, of which more and more people are now, and you give a logical series of answers, and they can follow it, for the most part, you know, John, most people don't realize that this is really all about money, because that is the crux of everything. The word marriage,
yes.
the definition of marriage is between a man and a woman. Well, a union
Absolutely.
Can be with anyone, and that's fine, because if they want to have the same tax rebates, et cetera, that's fine. I don't care. It doesn't make any difference to me. What I do object to, and I object to strongly, is having this thrown in my face all the time. I don't care what your sexual
Absolutely.
Orientation is. I'm not interested.
And I don't want to know.
I don't want to know.
Yeah.
I don't want anything.
Yeah.
And why does it have to affect me and my life? There isn't anything I'm doing in my life that says, come in my bedroom. Nothing. So
yes.
therefore, it does not belong in your, I don't belong in your bedroom. So keep it to
That's
yourself.
It.
Let me keep it to myself. I don't go walking around with a sign saying I'm a heterosexual. I don't need you to do
no.
the same. I'm not interested.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
I mean, I don't care. But this is what the communists must do, because they have to divert attention away from the real problem or the real issues or what they're really trying to do. And you nailed it when you said depopulation, because that's really what this is all about. Homosexuality would lead to a minimal population. And it has been done through time and time and time again. Remember the Roman Empire and all of
Absolutely.
The orgies. Who were the orgies?
The Greeks.
With? Mostly
mm-hmm.
young men.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly that's who they were.
And see, history just doesn't vanish. You know, that's one thing, Karen. You know, and when you relate history to the people now that are wanting to fight this battle and saying, well, look, guys, go back a few hundred years and let me give you this example on how well that worked out for the Romans. And you're asking us to now take the same path. And who is it that's driving the path? It is the progressive ideology, and we'll just go ahead and let's don't be PC. This is a communist ideology that they're asking all Americans to accept, and they've been bringing it into our living room. They've been bringing it into our – we've watched it in every news media. They're bringing it into our courts now and asking our courts, please decide on this aspect of humanity. Well, no, wait a while. God made those decisions a long time ago, man and a woman. I don't need the Supreme Court or any government body to tell me, here's how it works, guys, man and a woman. I got the picture. I can stand
well,
up in front of any classroom and say, okay, how is this going to work for us?
So I think back to where I started, the thread that connects all of this is, they hate God. It's against God. Communism
yes, they do.
Is against God. Homosexuality is
yes.
against God. And
yes.
the Jewish Bible says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." And we can't. God is not our Lord anymore, and God can't bless or protect us. And so Leviticus 26 says, God can only bless a nation if they obey Him. So I think the secret is to get our back to Ten Commandments. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Yes, and
yes,
stop
ma'am.
Allowing any organization to remove the Ten Commandments from any public building. This is part of American heritage. It is not there because it was a whim. It was there because God created this nation, and the laws and the natural laws of God are what our laws are based on. And that's what we
we have to get back to. So
right.
we have a lot of doing to do. And Victoria, you are doing a remarkable job. It's so wonderful. I love to read your emails and see the people that you're talking to, because you come up a lot of times with a different concept or a different idea. And that's what working together is, being able
mm-hmm.
to share ideas. See, now here's
hey,
the other thing, English. Let's go back to that for 1 second. English. Why is English important, especially in America? Because America is based on capitalism. That would make all of the people wealthy. That was the concept. But all of the business contracts are written in English. So if you don't understand English, you cannot conduct business, because you're constantly relying on somebody else. And as Frederick Douglass said, the minute you rely on somebody else, you become a slave, because those who cannot read are a slave to the person who can, because they're interpreting for you. So English is the most important thing, and what are we doing in our schools? We're not teaching English.
No. Ladies, can I share something with you? And Karen, I know that you're familiar with this, because I often, it's like a document that every American should have printed out and have in their possessions, the 45 steps to a communist America. And I'm going to start at number 24, eliminate all laws governing obscenity by calling them censorship and violation of free speech and free press. Number 25. Break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenity in books, magazines, motion picture, radio, and TV. And here you go, Victoria. This is directly, this is a communist document. Number 26, present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. 27, the ultimate thing, infiltrate the churches and replace revealed religion with social religion, discredit the Bible, and emphasize the need for an intellectual maturity which does not need a religious crutch.
Yes.
Everything that we are witnessing is by design, and we have to have every American citizen understand, look, this is being done to you. This is not something that you wanted. It has all been designed over a 100-year period to destroy who you are as a people.
Yes, and you know, communism crept into the church with the social justice term and Reverend
uh-huh.
Jim Wallace. And so communism has crept in everywhere, just like they planned.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
It is complete. They're working on the last two things right now.
Yes. Yes.
Private property laws.
Private property. Oh yes, private property.
Guns.
Is the highest, yep. And right next to that is guns. And that was a conversation I had with a friend of mine this is very interesting too. He was a history teacher, and he wrote me something about having guns. And he said, how many guns does a person need? Why do you need this rifle? Why do you need that? Why do you need these clips? And I wrote back to him and I said, a person needs as many rifles as they feel they need to keep themselves secure. And it's not up to you to tell me what you think I should have. It's up to me to be secure for me and my family. And if I want to have a house full of guns, that's my business. It's not yours. And
absolutely.
Problem, because the liberals, all they want to do, or the communists, whatever, is inflict themselves upon us or upon their opponents, and we don't fight back. And that's our biggest problem. And we have to answer back, because you don't have to answer back and be belligerent, but you have to have the right ammunition to answer back, because we cannot continue to allow them to lie and to have misconceptions and learn lies and not call them out. And I wrote back to him and I said, I'm surprised you are a history teacher, and history shows us
that every time there was gun registration, it led to confiscation. And you know where he wrote that?
Yes.
And he said, tell me where in history this happened. And then I realized that it's not in the books anymore.
Yeah.
Right,
they're
not
learning
it.
You guys, I got to go back
astounding.
To my Dr. Bailey party.
Oh, please go.
Okay, Victoria.
Victoria, before you go, tell everybody how to find you.
VictoriaJacksonShow.com, or they can go to VictoriaJackson.com and buy my book of how I got into the Tea Party.
Absolutely.
Excellent.
Absolutely. So visit Victoria. Thank you so much for joining us, and hopefully we will have you back again, much as you experience all of these things, and I love to hear about Dr. Bailey because he's fabulous.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
God bless you, Victoria.
God
bless
you too.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Isn't that great?
She is wonderful. She is wonderful. Folks, that's what we need. We need people who are not afraid to talk back, and people who, you don't have to be disrespectful. You just have to have the facts. You have to know. And if you don't have the answer, there's nothing wrong with saying, I don't have the answer. Let me go and look it up for you. There's nothing wrong with
saying. And how much work do you think Victoria has done? You know, and that's what becomes clear. I love listening to her. Because she shares what every American has available. We have a logic. We all have a sense inside our spirits, our minds, that something's not right. Something's being done to us. And all that's needed, she found a spark to take action. Karen shared a piece with her. She goes and she asks questions. People share a piece with her. Doc Preston's sharing a piece with her. If every American will do that, we can break through all the design and the myth, and we can take our power back.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. I mean, think about what happened this week. I was so angry with this cyber intellectual bill that they now want to pass, which will allow... This was really cool. It'll allow the industries to report. They are not required to report, but they could report information necessary on American citizens. So my question was, which I sent out today, okay, John, there's a pot of gold on the floor. You're not required to pick it up. You think you'll pick it up?
Yeah. Well, I mean, and Karen, how scary is that? And I can tell you, and I'll just relate this story, and I'm going to try to, I will refrain from using names of the corporate entity involved. Our industry, in its overregulation, and now that the government, who has never been held accountable for the failures on the drilling of Macondo, or the blowout that killed the 11 men, government was never held accountable, yet they signed waivers that allowed all that to take place. But, okay, that government entity, not accountable, created a massive two-legged industry, and now that two-legged industry has gone to the contractors that drill and furnish the equipment to drill in the Gulf of Mexico and is getting individual information that I and every man on this rig, we participate in protecting ourselves, keeping ourselves safe. We have safety programs. This corporation now is voluntarily, because it's better and easier to get permits, is giving the government my little safety cards that I fill out, making them available to the government.
Oh,
no one asked me, John, what do you... No, it's happening. It's happening. And I was told we had to accept it. Out of a whole room full of men, when they shared that, I was the only one that stood up in outrage and said, who gave you the permission? And they said, well, we don't have to ask. We run this rig. So I have to accept it. But now, go ahead with your story, Karen, because now tell them what they're going to want. And all of our Facebook buddies and all of the social media people can get ready, because you're going to have to furnish your corporation, if they choose, your passwords for all your social media. What
That's
a
right.
neat concept that you can have everybody looking down.
That's right. I know. And how many people have heard this? How many people realize?
Not very many, Karen.
Not many. This one, you put this together with the other things that were done. Here's another nice one. Do you remember last year all of the big hoopla about the Stock Act? And how it was so transparent, and it was so wonderful, because now, as of this moment, all of the legislators, they can't do insider trading. It would be illegal. Oh, my God. They've been doing it before. They're all multimillionaires in insider trading, as they write rules so that they can benefit from the businesses that they're going to create and put in business. In the meantime, they repealed it. They repealed portions of the Stock Act so that they will not have to report their incomes or what they made in insider trading. Do you feel set up coming on? I surely feel set up coming on. And then we have to see. And what is Bernanke doing? Well, he's printing so much money, and I'm thinking to myself, where's the outrage? Why aren't the people yelling? Why aren't they upset? And today it dawned on me, John. It dawned on me, because he's taking the money and he's putting it in the stock market and propping up the businesses on little volume so that the people will make money and won't complain.
Karen, it's such a setup deal. And I wrote a blog on this very subject. If the American people don't wake up and understand fiat currency, Federal Reserve Bank, who has nothing to do with the federal government, they're private bankers. They're just like Chase Manhattan. They call themselves the Federal Reserve, but here's the thing. We relinquished to the central bank the power to control our currency, and we have nothing that backs our currency. You know, even the British, you know, when it came time to create the Eurozone and the Euro, the British, the kingpins of the blue blood Illuminati said, no, not us. We're going to stay on the pound sterling. So they still have the pound sterling. Us, we can go into any bank and say, okay, I want my dollars worth of whatever this, nothing. But this man, this deplorable evil man, printing and giving access to our treasury, he says, okay, treasury, print money. They print $85 billion of these worthless fiat dollars each and every month without our permission, without the permission of Congress. They put this money into circulation, and just like you said, spot on, prop up the financial institutes, banks, and the banks invest bank holders' money into the stock market, so they give you a false sense, oh, the economy is recovering. BS,
right,
folks. There's more people starving, and there are more people getting EPD cards or EPT cards. You know, we've got more Americans on food stamps than at any time in our history. They're going to take in more money than any time in our history, but it's worthless money.
That's the key, because they're taking in the worthless money. They're propping up the businesses.
Absolutely.
So the people will
watch what they're doing with gold.
The stock market. Then they'll take that in taxes. And then they turn around with the taxes and feed off the minions, so they'll vote for them and keep them in office. What a neat trick.
Yeah. But my deal, Karen, I was telling folks that you have to watch what's happening with gold right now, because trust me, folks, gold and silver are still very solid, but gold's been on a downward spike, and here's the thing. Who controls the markets on gold. It's not John and Karen and just the little guys. No, it's the bankers. It's the foreign governments that are buying tons, not John and Karen and the middle-class American. I don't know very many people that can afford gold at $1,500, $1,400 an ounce. But at any rate, what happens that would drive gold down, and then you find out that Ben Bernanke and our Federal Reserve have shorted gold. That means that they have placed a proposition bet with their money, the Federal Reserve Bank's money, not mine and yours, just some of the bonds of ours that they hold. They have shorted the gold market. So every time the gold goes down, they profit worthless dollars. But guess what? They only know how far they shorted it. Did they say, well, okay, when gold gets to 1,000, we'll jump back in after we've wiped out every American's? How many times in this nation, on every TV across the entire nation, do we hear Priceline? What's the gold companies, Karen? You may know better
than
me. I see them all the time.
Yeah, Goldline.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but they're pushing gold every commercial, huh? Every 30 minutes you hear a gold commercial.
Oh, yeah.
So now American people scared like you and I, and every time I can afford to buy an ounce or something, well, I better maybe get some. I better have some, and maybe I'll roll my IRA, you know, because there's nothing else. I'm afraid of the stock market. I don't have anything to do with housing. That didn't work. So now I'm going to jump in, and I'm going to get into secure gold. And what does the Federal Reserve do? They short the gold market. They drive and will drive the price of gold down to make all of your gold investments sink in value. Will you become frightened and sell? Because if you do, guess what? You help them accomplish the mission. If you hold, you destroy their mission. Don't sell. Hold. Please, for the love of God, hold. Because all they're going to do is buy with worthless dollars. They know their dollars are worthless. They know they've devalued them. And if I can get you, Karen, to say, hey, Karen, my name's John, and I have 1,500 worthless pieces of paper that I would like to exchange for that beautiful ounce of gold coin that you have. And if you're willing to do it, Karen, you know, I'd really like to have it. And guess what? I would say, man, did I sucker her.
That's right. Yep, that's absolutely right, folks. Folks, what they are doing right now is they are skimming the top, and they're pushing the cream to the top. And we're the cream, and we're being pushed because our wallets are being drained, and our money is going up to them. And who is them?
Yep.
These are the global banking cartels. What is a cartel? A cartel is a group or an industry that is in that industry for profit. The purpose of a cartel is to make profit. It's not to be nice, and it's not to take care of John and Karen in a really great way where we'll be in luxury and not have to pay for anything. No, 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 no. It is for the owners of that cartel to make a profit. And they don't care about the shareholders. They only care about the owners. And that's what we have going on right now. So the next, you're right, that bubble. But now let's look at history. What happened before a depression? They pushed the price of gold down. And exactly like you said, John, those poor scared people, they have to sell their gold. And they trade their gold for worthless dollars. Dollars made out of paper.
And then guess what? that's what I was trying to relay to people.
Yep.
Yeah, but Mike, tell them, finish the story, because you're right on, you're spot on.
The bankers come in, and they buy that gold. And guess what they have done? They have gotten rid of their worthless paper, and they have taken your equity of something of value, and that's usually called theft. Because they've orchestrated this. And this is, we're never going to get out of this crunch mess until we, the people, understand the way money works. And money is no longer taught in school. And people leave school and they jump for joy thinking that debt is wonderful and that the country with the biggest debt is the winner and the ruler. And that's not the way it works. Remember John
Absolutely
and
not.
Talking about opposites? Think opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Debt is bad. Debt makes slaves out of people. People that are in debt can't own anything because you're in debt.
No.
So you don't own anything.
And Karen, one of the things that will happen, though, and that's what my effort was to caution people. Okay, we're going to see, and I'm clear that the Fed has shorted gold, and they've had some success. But then, there are a lot of Americans that are figuring out money and are figuring out debt because how many times have we seen them break the bubbles? And they break the bubbles. It's not a working-class guy that created the housing and the savings and loan debacle, the tech bubbles and stock market, the housing. Middle-class guys and working-class guys didn't do that. We're just struggling. We want to have a work career that will allow us, when we hit a reasonable old age, 65 years old, to sit down and relax and enjoy our grandchildren and have an American dream. Well, they have created all of these bubbles, and the next bubble, okay, it's a currency bubble because they're just flooding and it's not just America. All the central banks are doing the same policy. The Europeans are ahead of us in the game. They're ready to, but everything will be based because of the way they set the world economy, the global economy, based against the U.S. dollar, on the dollar's collapse. And when that happens, it will be the government bubble. But when we lost our houses and people are Americans, good, honest, hardworking Americans that bought into a bad financial scheme for houses, who ended up owning the houses? The government. They hold 90% of the paper on all of the bad mortgages. The government and the bankers. Who are the government? They're in control. The central bankers drive this government. They dictate government policy. They dictate wars for more money. It's greed. It's evil. And we know where it's coming from. And all I can caution people is this move, this last move by the Fed to short gold and an attempt to drive down the gold prices signals inflation.
Yes.
Inflation is already starting to creep in, but they're going to take a willing policy to allow inflation to happen. So watch out. In the next signal, if I'm right and my economics education leads me anywhere, the next signal will be a shift in Fed policy to start increasing interest rates. Once they purchase their gold and they start to buy gold with worthless paper, they will increase the interest rates for worthless paper, stealing more wealth through inflation from the all workers.
You are so right. So now we're at the bottom of the last half hour. Let's come up with some solutions. What can you do when you know that these things are facing us? Well, let's see. We talked about immigration. What can we do about immigration? We have to start having real conversations. What does immigration mean? Immigration means 30 to 40 million new mouths to feed from a family that's broke. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
It doesn't work no matter how you do it. It just does not work. So we have to be real. We have to be real about what immigration means. And if we're going to have immigration, then our schools have to teach English and America, not European, global garbage. I can't think of a nicer way to put it, but not UN global international benchmark common core garbage that's not going to teach anybody anything, especially our kids. And that's for another discussion, and we'll talk about Common Core on another time, because it's a result of these bad policies that are in schools that we are now living the bad policies in our country and in our government. When you don't teach about America, people don't know about America. So when they come here and they see a continuation of the same,
and it's more of the same, well, they just think American socialism is the best thing since sliced bread, so why would they want to change it? These people who are coming here from other countries come here not thinking they can own anything. So when they come to America and they have a little bit more than a 600-square-foot flat to live in a family of four, and they think a 1,000-square-foot flat is a mansion to them. So you have to understand
Absolutely.
That mentality also. They're coming from socialist countries. They think American socialism is great. They've never experienced freedom. And if we don't tell them, how will they know? And we're not doing
yeah.
that. And that's, we're not doing that.
And you know, Karen, there's some great power in that, because when you speak to immigrants, I'm talking legal immigrants, people that have come
yes.
here on work visas, and they've left some of the, you know, third world nations, and they arrive here in the great America. And you're right. You know, when you ask them, well, what do you find great about America? What is it that you love? The fact that they can have a car. The fact that
mm-hmm.
they can have an apartment. Just like you said, I mean, the property and the right to own property to them in a nation where they would could never own property, or they would never, you know, they would work a lifetime, they would labor a lifetime just to be able to buy a vehicle. I mean, it was, their eyes light up when they get to tell you about all the great things. But guess what? They're driving a taxi cab, they're working in a restaurant, a small restaurant, and they're doing labor jobs, huh? And they're honest jobs, they're great honest jobs, but what are they being paid? And then here's when you then go and you say, well, okay, that's the American socialism. We'll let you have a taste of it as long as we can license you and we know where you're at and we can tax you for your labor and we can license and permit your house that you live in and all the things that you have. We want to make sure you got, you know, it's for your security. We need to keep tabs on what's happening for you. So you're going to need all of these regulations and policies that we've got in place for your security. You're far more secure here than you were in Nicaragua, Venezuela, and you've left there. You know, you come from Kosovina or what, but you get here. So they, oh, it's great. But then you look at the reality. Okay, let's take, I hold that China is the harshest one of, other than maybe Korea, the harshest communist regimes on the planet. Well, what ended up and what is taking place today in China? China is starting to westernize and give their people a taste of the American freedom. Not out-and-out private property ownership. No, it will never happen. Communists will never relinquish it. But they're giving them a taste of what it could look like to be able to go pick out, oh, a pastel suit. Oh,
right.
I can go and I can pick out the food. Look at the selection of food items I have. I don't get just a bowl of rice.
Mm-hmm.
But then look at where they're melding the globe.
Yep.
They're trying to meld us. And I have read think tank policies that have said, okay, what do we got to do to make the whole planet socialized and acceptable, and they don't want communism. They want a nice, soft socialism to where they can continue as elitists to prosper and be our ruling class and just give the minions selections, choices, to where we'll be happy. Just take just enough of their life and their labor to make them happy. Folks, that is not the American dream. That is not the American free market economy at work. And I know and I have lived in a better America. I want that better America for my children and my grandchildren. So I'm not willing to accept any other immigration policy that says we're going to give you a free ride into America. Because guess what? That free ride and this policy, every single word that I've heard of and read of every piece of legislation is to bring those people on board, and guess what it does? It will destroy the American economy. It will destroy. We are $261 trillion in unfunded debt right now today. And now, if they allow this immigration policy to go forward, we bring in 20 million other citizens who will have access to these socially unfunded. I mean, we don't have the funding for Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security. We do not and cannot afford 20 million illegal immigrants to come on board the system with a pat on the back and say, we accept you. Immigration has to be a controlled policy, a controlled policy where you respect our laws, you respect our language, you respect our flag, you respect our nation, and as a people, you respect the system of government that we have under constitutional right, a free republic. Yes, you can participate. Yes, you can have a piece of this dream. But for that, you assimilate and you become shoulder to shoulder one of us.
Yes.
Immigration.
Absolutely. And you know, John, while you were saying that, I was thinking, how many Americans don't even know what they have? So what we have to do, every single one of us, at least once a week, talk to five new people. Once a month, five new people. And give them a pocket constitution and tell them
yes.
You will help them understand it. Because, again, they don't even have a reading level that will help them understand it. So we have to regather ourselves, be Americans, not hyphenated Americans, revisit, each and every one of us, revisit the Constitution continually, because if we don't know it, nobody else is going to know it, and we can't share it if we don't know it. So we've got to revisit
Absolutely.
The Constitution, and we should revisit the Ten Commandments, because that's where
Wow.
this all started. And if we do those two things and share that information with five new people, think about, now here's the math part that nobody knows. Think about the power of multiplication. If you tell five people, and you tell those five people, hey, you know, you think you could tell five other people? Think about how that spreads on a continual basis. And what are we doing? We're learning about the country that is ours, and we are stopping others from stealing it. Because when you talk
Yes.
about the global cartel, which John was just talking about, folks, the word global, that should make a red flag stand up. These are not Americans who own our country. These are not Americans who run our schools. And these are not Americans who are running our government. And that's
Nope.
really scary. When we have
That's right.
a group of people, Saudis, who go to the FBI and tell the FBI and tell our military, take these words out. What insanity is that of George Bush to even think about it and Barack Obama to do it?
That's fact.
Think about that, folks. If you don't know your enemy, who do you fight? I always ask everybody now, you know something, John? I started doing that because I was talking to people, and I said, we are facing a very unique election, and we cannot pay attention to the party. We have to pay attention to the person. Because one of the things that we don't know, and one of the things that we never do, is identify who the enemy is. Who's our enemy? Who is our enemy? Our enemy are the communists. The globalists. And they don't walk around saying I'm a Democrat or I'm a Republican. It's an ideology. And if you don't listen
yeah.
to them and listen to what they say, you can't identify who they are. We have two
And Karen, that's by design. And that's the one thing that everyone must recognize. All of the name changes for socialism, progressivism, all of it still has a core, it has a root. It has a soul, And that ideology is communism, which is to the American independent nation of the United States of America is the great evil. We have had men and women die to protect us, you and I, from communism. And today we allow politicians on a local level, state level, schools. Oh, we're working toward the global economy. Wait a while, folks. I don't care about your global economy. What I care about is the success of the independent American people and their economy. I want my grandchildren to thrive. Let the people all over the planet choose for themselves. And we have always been the model. Now we are allowing them to destroy us and turn us into a third world nation. Not happening on John Estabrook's watch. Not going to happen.
You are right. Not going to happen. And that's, folks, we have to get the upper hand. And the only way that you can get the upper hand is with knowledge. And if we, let's start at the beginning. So before next week's show, everyone, read the Constitution a couple of times and read the Bill of Rights. More, and make sure that you read the Ten Commandments. And then in the what is left of May, of April, talk to five new people and give them a pocket constitution and talk to them about it. And let's start bringing back America, because you don't know what you've got till it's gone. And this one is on its way out. And we can bring it back if because, you know what, John, 80% of the people are still unhappy. And we have a big group out of that 80% of which we don't even need that many more people to make a difference.
Right.
And that difference comes with John and Karen and everybody else talking to other people, talking to your neighbors, talking about the things that are not comfortable, talking about politics and religion, because politics and religion are the most important things to talk about. And if they make somebody upset, you know what? It's okay to be upset. It's okay to have a disagreement. Everybody doesn't have to agree on everything all the time. But in your disagreement, you have to learn and respect the other person's viewpoint. So if you want to disagree, that's fine. Disagree. Let the other person
talk. And Karen, principles, yeah. And knowing and understanding our founders, and that's where the pocket constitution comes in, folks. And I think that if every American, because it's such a nice, brief, concise document that many of us in the Patriot movement hold was given to them by divine providence. And that being the case, then it should drive you and compel you. Who were these men that wrote and prepared this document? What was their wisdom that they shared and they gave to us to hold this? And when we see that, the one thing that we'll all recognize is they had great disputes, great arguments.
Oh, yes.
I mean, they actually, for days on end. But guess what they always did? When it became so harsh and they were so embattled in the quest for getting this nation formed, they would say, okay, guys, and the leaders, Benjamin Franklin, Madison, okay, let's step away from this and let's pray on what direction we, and they found their answers in prayer. So now I'm going to listen to a comedian, you know, a so-called Bill Maher or an atheist, describe to me that I'm wrong, that my thinking's wrong about my nation and about what the freedoms of this nation are? No, Mr. Maher, you can't diminish my Christianity. My Christianity was given to me, and this nation was founded on Judeo-Christian principles that are sound and solid. It's when we sway from that, when we lose morality, when we leave our religion. Look what happens to our nation, the Ten Commandments. So I just wanted to guide folks, Karen, to understand.
You're right.
The pocket constitution Yeah.
Perfect. That you're absolutely right. And that's, folks, that's what's important. We have to take back. I don't care if somebody wants to be an atheist. I don't care what they want to be. I don't care what they want to believe in. But they don't have a right to put that on me. That's their choice.
There you go. That's right.
And our country was founded on the Ten Commandments and the Bible, and we got the Constitution. And those, all of those items belong together, because just like Americans should never be separated, they should never be separated either, because that's what creates America. And if we don't have solid rock principles to work with, and this nonsense about the Constitution being a living, breathing document, oh, my God. No, it's not. Because
well, that's described. I mean, that's one of the missions.
You are right. If we believe that the sun in the sky is sun in the sky, and it's not going to go anywhere, and it's going to be there, that's the way the Constitution is. And it doesn't mean that today or tomorrow or next week or next month the Constitution should change to suit some what purpose? Like, to suit some failing purpose when we have a vehicle that we know works. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. We don't need to fix it. What we do is have to follow it, which we're not doing, which is almost kind of the same thing as the immigration laws. Why do we need new laws? Why don't we just close the border and follow the laws that are on the books? Wouldn't that be a novel thing?
Yeah.
Something new and different. Imagine that, actually paying attention to the laws that were written.
Yeah, and these people right now, Karen, I mean, we're fighting folks that with their, and, you know, the Constitution, the Ten Commandments, but also know your enemy. And everyone should go online and please, because these are documents from congressional record. They come direct from the Communist Party. They're the little 45 steps, and I always tell people, please get those so that you understand. I'm not telling you that this is not John's vision of what it, this is what they've actually carried out and they've done, and they're completing. So, you know, I think that for certain, right now in the American lexicon, the conversation of the great politician, let's see, Dianne Feinstein, her inability with her great intellect... her great intellect is to, she doesn't recognize, shall not infringe,
right.
Shall
yes,
not be infringed.
Well, we are coming to the close of the show, and it was wonderful for all of you to share your time with us. We will be back. And we hope you've had a wonderful time like we've had, sharing our views and hearing information. And the most important thing, folks, is don't be silent. Don't buy into being the silent majority. That's what they want us to do. That's what we can't do. We have to be vocal. We have to, when we know the truth, we have to share it, and we have to act upon it. And that's where we're going. So we will be back again next week. John, hopefully...
Always a pleasure, Karen.
Drilling, ha, ha, ha. I'm sorry, I always tease John because he always tells me that we have a permittatorium, which I know, which is phony baloney, and our government is not letting us drill, so every time when John goes out to the rig and our gas prices go up, it
makes
me So, on that note...
Oil prices are dropping.
Oh, yes, that's true, because nobody's using it. Can't go anyplace. You don't have a job.
Well, no, they don't have a job. And it...
That would be nice. Visit us on agenda21today.com. Visit us on americaismyname.org. Please go to Stop Common Core. That is very important that you know what's going on in the schools. Visit us again on Blog Talk Radio, the American Statesman. The show is American Freedom Watch Radio, and on RedStateTalkRadio.com. Join us again next week. This is Karen Schoen. and
John Estabrooks.
John Estabrooks from the oil rig in the middle of the Gulf. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate hearing from you. Take care and have a wonderful
Thank you,
week.
Everyone.
Thank
God
you.
God bless.
God bless. God bless. Good night, everyone.
Oh, good night, Sally. I didn't realize you were there. You should have chimed in.
I've only been here for a couple of minutes.
Oh, okay. Good night. Take care. Bye-bye.
Good night.